Hello, hello, hello. How's it going, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to this episode here on the Ed Talk podcast. My name is Edouard Gilles, and I am grateful to be here today on Monday. Yesterday, I was telling somebody for the first time I met them, and I was like, Monday is my favorite day. And they was like, word? Monday? You sure? You're not confused with Friday? Yeah, it is. You know, Friday, I would say, is like the day you burn out. Or you like 5 days, I'm tired. Or I guess in 6 days, really. And you're like, I'm really tired. But Monday, you're like refreshed. Because, if you work during the weekend, you're not really refreshed. Because you're like all tired too. But my mind and your will is refreshed. So that's why I really enjoy Friday, Monday. But I'm grateful to be here to talk to you about burning out. You know, I like to bring on current subjects that's kind of like going on in my life and put that together in a way to make a lesson for myself and for others as like dealing with the negative effects of burning out. So what does it mean to burn out? What does it mean to go to a stage where you're like completely unable to focus because you're so mentally deprived of your ability to focus? So a burnout has many, many definitions, right? So if you think of it like a rocket going up in the sky, it's burning out as it goes up in the sky because it's going so far up, it has to use fuel, right? It's using its fuel to get up. So in turn, what happens to that rocket? It reduces fuel or substance to nothing because it's using it or through combustion. So in the same way rockets burn out, we ourselves burn out because we are human beings, and sometimes we are trying to get to the next level. Because we're trying to get to the next level, we tend to be running out of fuel. So I think a pivotal thing is to kind of like recognize when you're starting to run out of fuel and strategize on how you can do better and kind of like recuperate all of that energy back into yourself. So with that being said, how do you avoid burnout? Well, you can't always avoid burnouts, but you can always do better with conserving the amount of fuel that you have in your engine, right? So keep in mind, fuel is imperative to moving anywhere in life, whether that's up, whether that's sideways. If you're gonna move, you have to have some sort of fuel. Like your car needs to have gas, the rocket needs to have gas, the plane needs to have gas for combustion. So having a lot of gas means that you have to use it wisely, right? So you got to use the energy wisely. So I say the number one thing to conserve energy is to not spend major time doing minor things. So analyzing, well, is this thing I'm doing a minor task and am I spending a lot of time on it? Because at the end of the day, you don't want to spend all your fuels to get nowhere. You know, I feel like this has been a story in my life in certain circumstances, because sometimes when you're starting up within your company, you're starting a startup or you're doing a new venture, you get to this point where you kind of don't know where to allocate your time because you're literally building something from scratch. Or let's say you're in school and you just literally got to college, you kind of don't know where to start because you're kind of like now building your future from scratch. Or let's say you're trying to lose 30 or 50 pounds, you kind of don't know where to start because you're kind of not building, but in this case cutting down the weight from scratch. So it becomes kind of a blurry, there's a blurry line to determining like what to do next, and that in turn causes you to do so many different things that you may think is leading you down the right path or direction, but in reality, you're literally just going around in circles, right? So let's talk about the phases of burnout. So there are like four different phases of burnout according to doctors and therapists. And the phase number one is that when we feel that excessive enthusiasm and we have really high idealistic goals. So we kind of overestimate our potential and we're willing to work as hard as we possibly can. Now, when we overestimate our potential and willing to work as hard as we possibly can, that's really not a bad thing. That's like the number one place we need to start. However, sometimes we can get way too enthusiastic about a goal that we neglect our own well-being. So when your enthusiasm for success rises, your enthusiasm for coping with anxiety and stress should also rise to match that. Because if you get enthusiastic so much about doing something, like for me, it's starting this startup because I'm so excited about helping people monetize their shows and podcasts. I'm like, yo, I can use this and I know somebody else can use this. So I'm so excited. So you find yourself spending all the time doing things that is, you know, that may or may not help that endeavor, because first of all, you're really confused as to what to do in the first place. So the first phase of getting burned out is getting a lot of fuel underneath yourself, right? So you have all the fuel you need to get this plane up in the sky and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna make it happen. I'm so enthusiastic about this new goal I have set for myself. This literally happened for me. You know, I'm going to a bunch of conferences. Your boy is waking up early, meeting people, calling, texting, moving from place to place, trying to exercise, doing A, B, C, D. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start this amazing startup and I'm going to really revolutionize the world. You know, we all want to think so big. So now what happens when, boom, your startup starts and you're not making any money, right? And you're like, okay, I have to find ways to also make money. So enthusiasm in one area often deflates other areas, which causes more enthusiasm in multiple areas, which kind of pulls you from one task and another. So when you have so many tasks pulling against each other, you break yourself apart, which is like the first phase of becoming a person who burns out. And you don't want to burn out often. You can burn out sometimes, but not often. You know, reason why is it really, really takes away progress. It really takes a lot of progress, because as these problems start to grow and arise, we become to slow down. So we're trying to compensate for slowing down by working more. So if you're very ambitious about your life, you fight being tired with more work to make up for the lack of success in the work that you're already doing. So like I said, it's like, don't spend major time on minor things. You know, one thing I'm learning to say is no, I cannot have this meeting with you that's A, not going to make me any money, and B, not going to improve my well-being. You know, that's something I've been learning to say. Another thing is moving from place to feel active. Just because you're moving doesn't mean you're progressing, right? And sometimes that's literally a physical thing. Sometimes you can't sit in the office and, you know, you may have to analyze yourself. Maybe you need to bring your office outside or bring your office in a more relaxing kind of a vibey place, because you kind of figure out what works best for you. But when you're moving so much, you're depleting your energy throughout the day. For instance, for me, I find myself catching the bus and the train. So I'm depleting energy when I have to go from point A to point B, traveling between Boca and Miami. So what that's doing is it's literally taking energy out of me that I can be utilizing to come up with great ideas. So minimizing physical movement and other forms of movement as well. So phase two is that we begin to compensate by working more and more. And when we start feeling that we're not achieving much, we start to lose interest in our work. We blame other people and we kind of criticize our system. So physically, we become really irritable, we become really tired, and we just kind of like lose it a little bit, right? So this brings us to phase three. We become totally, totally disappointed and unmotivated, right? And you know, this stage can stay for a long time if you do not act within that stage. So when we're totally disappointed and unmotivated, what happens then is that we're going against two things: the extreme unwavering enthusiasm that we had in phase one, and then we're also reinforcing the blame, the criticism, and the loss of interest in phase two. So now we're disappointed and unmotivated. And if you're a person who likes to actually achieve things in life, when you're disappointed and unmotivated, it has a dramatic effect on your self-confidence. So now that your self-confidence is completely down, all your dreams and abilities are suffering because they can't happen because you have no unwavering enthusiasm. So what happens in that case is you're trying to figure out, how do I get back on track? So here are some warning stages that you want to notice in the early stages of burnout. So first, you start to expend excessive amounts of energy, right? That you're like on different things. You're like working really hard but not getting much done, right? And you start to really get exhausted. You know, that happened to me last week. I'm going to tell you, I am the motivator, but the motivator keeps it real, right? Last week, I found myself in a state where I was like not able to really do much. Well, not last week. Last week was good. It was the week before that. And I kind of like stayed home all day, and I found myself in deep emotional conflict, right? Because I'm supposed to be the motivator and the ambitious one, right? CEO ambition is what happens when you have expectations and going against your expectations. You have decreased self-confidence, which then again bring back that whole cycle. So what I've realized is that when you begin to have reduced dedication, which is which is something that shows you that you're about to burn out, it's the early stage of burning out, you start to lose. And you start to lose relationships, or at least people start to lose faith in your ability to achieve. If you had clientele, if you had friends that was depending on you during that stage, what kind of happens is that you kind of go against that. You know, they're like, maybe I can't trust this person. So in 1 week, you can undo something that you've been trying to do in the last 6 months. So you could have gotten a major client, but then the 1 week you had no dedication, that's what they kind of remember. Like, you remember this thing is that people don't always see the good in you. It's easier to see when someone does the bad thing, right? So we mostly remember when the person didn't return the phone call, when the person did not, you know, follow up, when the person did not complete the project on time, instead of when the person completed it on the same day and gave great quality and great communication and went beyond the extra thing. So doing your burnout session, what happens is that you start to burn bridges. When you're burned out, you burn bridges, which in turn decrease self-confidence, which in turn start the whole cycle over again, right? So in that point, you're like, phew. Crap, you know, like you start to miss a lot of things, and you start to even feel a little bit entitled as well, because you're like, I should be able to do a lot more, right? I should be way farther in life, and not realizing that 2 weeks ago you were doing pretty well because you were having that unwavering enthusiasm towards success. And one thing I realized though is sometimes the best thing to the situation is realizing that you've been there before. If you can realize that you've burned out before, then you can realize that, well, what did I do before to overcome this circumstance? If not, you start to react in an emotional state, which is giving you a feeling of being depressed, guilt, failure, and self-pity, right? And you start to be, you start to show a lot of aggression. You make accusations towards circumstances, people, things, and you act really, really moody and irritable. And all of those are character traits that kind of deter people away from wanting to do business with you or be your friend. So it's hard to navigate during that process, right? And this lack of navigation causes us to lose a sense of direction towards our dreams and goals and abilities. And like I said, it's a cycle. Everything affects one another. Whatever happens on one side of the spectrum directly have a correlation with another side of your life, right? So if one relationship starts to deter, whether it's a business, personal, or even at work, you're sitting at work and you're kind of being really, really irritable towards the people, the customers coming in. When you kind of get home to your spouse or get home to your boyfriend or girlfriend or working with clients, you might start to show the same thing, right? And at times, you can even become really depressed. So that's what the feeling of guilt, failure, and self-pity lies is depression, right? So I can tell you, 2 weeks ago, I didn't really feel as happy. My life satisfaction for that week dramatically decreased, and I would drink a little bit more, you know. I hate drinking, by the way. I don't like drinking, but I just felt like, damn, I have to get away from myself. If you ever felt that way, you feel like you just got to get away from yourself because you're like, damn, I'm not the ambitionist. So just because you're not an alcoholic doesn't mean you won't have alcoholic behaviors from once in a while, right? Just because you're not a pothead doesn't mean you won't go through a week where you're smoking weed over and over and you're like, I'm just trying to reduce my anxiety, right? So don't blame yourself. You know, sometimes you're having this relationship with Mary Jane because the relationship that you had with Mrs. Smith, which can be like your dreams, has deterred. So if you're getting divorced from your dreams, goals, and abilities, the only thing that you can now depend on is like some other substance to help you out. You know, it's really like having sexual relations. We're all adults here, right? So you know, you're having sex with one amazing girl that you love and care about, and then boom, she breaks up with you. You didn't know it was only for a week that she'd come back. So you go out and you seek some unworthy person that I guess unworthy because you don't really have feelings for them, so it's literally not doing your soul any good. So you find some person to help you navigate and reduce your anxiety by getting sex from someone else. So I think that's like the same relationship that we can have with our dreams, with our life satisfaction. And the same thing applies when we go away from that and go towards more of substance abuse, right? And substance abuse is something that, you know, that I experienced in college, because when you get in college, it's a different dynamic. You know, you get introduced to a lot of things, different environments, a lot of partying, and you also get stressed more and things become more of a social norm. Right, it becomes okay for you to smoke and drink all the time on Tuesday or Thursday. That people don't call you alcoholic in college, because hey, we're all literally, if you're gonna say you're alcoholic, everybody's alcoholic, right? Because everybody's kind of drinking from time to time. So doing these things, you know, the relationship with Mary Jane and Mr. Hennessy causes a deterioration of your cognitive function, right? So you start to become really disorganized, indecisive, and you can't get your work done, right? And what I realize is sometimes there's a pattern in burning out. It usually kind of happens all around the same time, you know? Like, just be really aware, like, every year you can literally start to analyze when you burn out. Now, what I actually do is I have a notebook to write things down as to when I start to burn out, so that I kind of recognize, oh, okay, so around this time I start to work really, really hard, so I should expect in 2 to 3 months to kind of like start to deplete in energy, right? So sometimes we start to lack sleeping. There's a time when we're working so hard that we forget to sleep, we forget to eat, and that is end up beating our bodies, our souls and minds. So this decreases your motivation, right? So you have a minimal effort and a decreased initiative to achieving what you're trying to do. So with lack of motivation is the first step towards being a bum, right? And no one wants to be a bum, not to themselves, right? Even if people don't know what you're going through, you know what you're going through. I think that's like the most important thing, is that you don't need to think of it like, well, what are other people are going to say? That's not that important. What's really the most important factor here is like, what are you kind of saying about yourself? Like, what are you thinking about yourself? Because those thoughts are being replicated in your actions every single day. So when you start to dwell on that perception of yourself during that moment, you start to literally create it more and more, right? So now you it's hard for you to even be creative. So now let's think about it. You set out to climb a mountain, which is this big audacious goal, right? Like I said, big, hairy, audacious goal. And you're like, I'm going to climb this mountain. So you start climbing and climbing as hard as you as much as you possibly can. You're throwing up the ropes. You're using all of the tools in your tool belt. But you kind of forgot to drink water, or like, oh, let me take some time to catch my breath. Or you did it in extreme sunlight, right? You keep doing that, and then you're like, and you get halfway to the mountain, and then you're like, holy crap, I have no more energy. So what happens, you start to not kind of climb anymore, and you lose your grip, right? Sometimes we lose our grip in our lives. You lose your grip, and then down you go. And then when you fall down, now, I've never fell down a mountain before. I can tell you that much. I never fell down a mountain, but I could only imagine that you fall down a mountain, you break your spine, you break something in your body, right? So when you fall down, it's kind of hard to get back up from that point. So I believe if we look at the mountain in segments, we climb 25% and say, take a break, take a rest, and then we continue going on. Or as we continue to climb, we make sure we have our water right next to us. We make sure we have the proper clothes on to be cooled down as we continue to go towards the top of the mountain, so that we can properly dissect the fuel that we have so that we can make it to the top of the mountain, right? It's like the same thing with a vehicle. All right, you're driving a car. If you're, you know, there's a specific mechanism that if you keep, also this, the funny thing is, if you keep your car on, I forgot the mode that it is. If you keep your car on a specific speed, right, it will use less energy as it continuously go towards a path, right? If you keep driving on the highway at 60 miles per hour and you keep it at that, right, you don't have to press the gas. So every time you press the gas in the car, it uses more gas. So if you keep your life at a consistent pace like a car, right, then what happens is you're using less fuel. So I think it comes to pacing yourself, right? So that's something like me myself will be applying, right? It's pacing, is not setting too many things to do in one day or within a short period of time, because the effectiveness of those things, you might not even accomplish most of those things at your best capability, and you run out of fuel before you even complete the full project. So I think it's important to kind of like balance, which balance is a big word, the amount of times you press the gas, you know. So sometimes if you're always switching directions as well, it's hard to not have to press the gas. When you keep stopping and starting, it's hard to not have to use the brakes and the gas. So if think of burnout like that too. So there's as you go through life, let's say there's a 6-month period, and at the end of 6 months you burn out because you've just been hitting the gas, and then you burn out. Okay, you ran out of fuel. That happens. But if you look at it a macro perspective, like in a year period, you're going, pressing the gas, brake. And then you're going for the next 6 weeks, pressing the gas, brake. Now you're kind of like messing up your brakes, aren't you? So you're kind of bringing this pattern with your suspension in the car and, you know, the brakes, and you're kind of messing up your vehicle, which is in this case your body, because you're building this pathway, this mental pattern, that after every single 6 weeks or after the month, at the fourth week of the month, I'm going to burn out. And then at the fourth week of the month, I'm going to burn out. Fourth week of the month, I'm going to burn out. And then in 3 months, you have a major burnout. So you keep going through these micro burnouts, and then you have macro burnouts, quarterly burnouts. Then you have half a year burnouts and year burnouts. So when you accrue all of those weeks, it's really counterproductive. It's counterproductive because you were burning out from time to time so many times that you never got anywhere. You never really progressed because you lost at least 15 weeks in the course of doing so. So really, really, really applying some different mechanisms to stop and let your vehicle recuperate itself, right? And one thing I realized 2 weeks ago was that when I was in this series of burned out, what happened to my life was that my spiritual life deceased or decreased. You know, my ability to want to grow, to read books and learn, it was not there. You know, meditation went away, early morning routine went away, proper eating habits deterred. So everything works in sync, and these things you don't want to always keep bringing it off, because the long-term ramifications of doing so is a pattern that causes it to happen every year. And that in turn keeps you in a long place. And, you know, being there myself made me kind of like really want to figure it out. And also, you know, I promise you, I literally sit down and listen to this podcast myself, because it'll help me navigate when I'm going through that circumstance. And that's why this information is kind of really useful, because it helps you navigate. Sometimes you have to create your navigation system. You know, you have to create your global positioning system to position yourself in the right place so that you can actually get to your destination, right? We can't always depend on Google Maps. You know, we can't depend on the maps others set out for us for our lives. We have to depend on our own internal map. You know, we have to depend on our own internal guidance, utilizing external support to do so, right? So think of yourself that the GPS that you need is inside of yourself. It's in you. And that the world is literally the satellite that kind of plugs you in so that your internal GPS can get you to a specific destination. So I you know, having that sense of despair at the end of a burnout, feeling helpless, hopeless, to the point where you're like, I don't want to live my life, you know, or sometimes I don't want to do anything anymore. So some of us get stuck in that life, and the best thing that we can do. So what is the solution to all of this? I think the solution sometimes is recognizing that you're tired. You know, if you could prevent burnout by taking a day off, by all means, do so. We live in a hustle mentality. We live in a hustle mentality environment where we believe that hustle is going. We have to not just move. We have to actually be strategic about how we move, right? It's like running. I run track. I run long distance. I know how to be strategic about running. My stride is usually about the same. You know, like, I'm not going to, like, literally, like, change my stride. Your stride is how far you step the left foot in front of the right foot, and how often does that pace stay at the same time. So as you stride up towards your goals and dreams, you want to ensure that you have a consistent stride, a consistent breathing mechanism to inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide, and have a consistent way of conserving energy. But at times when you're running, just because the stride is the same, right, doesn't mean the speed doesn't differ, right? So you can stride the same pace, which is the distance between the left foot and the right foot, but the speed that you run can be different even though your stride stays the same. So as you stride towards what you want, you're taking the same kind of like steps, but sometimes you have to recognize when you need to slow down and when you need to speed up. Running an 800 meter dash, which I did in high school and was one of the favorite races and really good race, you have to have heart, but you have to have strategy to win it, right? In the beginning, some people, which was kind of me, I would trail beyond the two best people besides me. I always assumed that was the best. So I strived beyond the first two. I let them get a little bit of speed ahead of me. I kept a consistent stride so that I didn't have to think about my stride, because once you have very small steps, it takes more energy to get farther. So I kept the stride the same, but I varied the speed, which is how fast I'm moving my knees and moving my arms and sprinting to get there. So in the beginning, I'm having a slower pace and slowly going faster and faster and faster, because I know that I need as much energy at the end of the race, because at the end of the race is when you need to go all in, because, well, most people won't have enough heart at the end. So you want to be able to have strategy so that you can utilize your will and your heart at the end of the race. So if we think of goals like a race, but we're literally pacing ourselves to get to the end of the race properly and actually win and achieve. So now you may think, what happens when I get to 200 meters close to the finishing line? What must I do? That's the time you close your eyes and you push all the way to the end. This is when you deplete all your energy. So in a burnout, if you burn out the first 200 meters of the race, you have no more energy to burn out at the end of the race. So as you continue to thrive towards your goals, don't waste all of the energy in the beginning and lose the potential of winning your race, which is achieving what you're trying to achieve. Whether that may be school or a business or startup or whatever it is, you know, it can vary from time to time. But I can tell you this, I was always the guy, you know, I would win first place, second place. I was usually one of the best in the districts that I competed in. You know, however, it didn't mean that at the end of the race, I didn't feel like crap. I see some people who were last place and they just jog right onto the finish line. And I've seen some people who are first or second place drive all the way to or third or fourth. Whether in the middle, first or last, I've seen people who are able to just go through the finishing line somewhat tired. But for me, I began to have this mentality that at the end of the race, it's all or nothing, right? So I just go all out. I'm like, whatever energy I have now, I'm going to burn out to the finish line. And I would throw up or I'll be exhausted. I'm telling you, I would be one of the best persons there in the district. And, you know, when you're, like, in front, people notice you, and people would see the best throwing up. Like, well, this explains why I'm the best, because I'm willing to throw up at the end and recover for the next race. Because I realized that, okay, I have worked so hard for this. I have run so much before this. I've run miles and miles that I am not going to burn out before the race is over. So we kind of have to apply this same mentality in our lives and the things that we're achieving, you know, whether that's the semester or whatever. We don't want to deplete the energy early on. We want to distribute that energy properly so that we can get to the destination that we're trying to get to. However, you're like, well, isn't the purpose to not get burned out? Well, if you're going to achieve great things in life, sometimes you will have to burn out. And that's like the what I call the yin and the yang. The yin and the yang. Yin and yang. It's like black and white, you know, the opposites. It's like you don't want to always burn out, but you kind of have to burn out for your dreams at times. It just depends on when it's going to happen. You know what I mean? But there's also a recovery process. Now, this is when emotional intelligence comes into really play. It comes into play when you burn out. Without emotional intelligence, and I'm telling you, this is the most important thing. And part of emotional intelligence is social intelligence and self-awareness, right? Self-awareness is the most important thing. You have to recognize when you're really tired and exhausted. You know, you have to realize, holy crap, I got shin splints from this race. I need to wrap up my shins. I need to not run on the concrete, and I need to take a break for the next 3, 4, 5 days to let my body recover. And recognizing that, yes, I am completely depleted in energy, but it doesn't mean I am a bad athlete and I'm not motivated anymore. It just means that I've worked hard enough that I'm able to take the break. But it's better for you to be able to, it's easier for you to be able to do that when you actually achieve the goal. Now, when you didn't achieve the goal, it's really difficult to be self-aware because your true self is clouded by your expectations. What you expect to be comes to play because you're like, holy crap, I burned out before I got to the goal. I burned out before I got to the finish line. But when you finished and burned out, you're like, well, I won. Now I'm just resting. So the mentality is kind of different at that point. So that's what I'm saying, finish the race, but pace yourself, right? Message to myself in the next couple, how do I pace myself properly? Like, is it really feasible that I make all of my work from 4 to 11 and have 5 hours of sleep and wake up 4 to 11 again? And doing all of these things, how can I decrease the physical energy at times during the days to properly allocate the mental acuity and physical energy? So I think we need to really kind of like balance those two things. So make sure when you burned out that you burned out for a specific reason or a specific goal that you actually got close to achieving, right? Because, for instance, when I looked at my goal 2 weeks ago, my goals for this month and the last 2 weeks, I realized that a lot of them were not achieved. And then I really had to sit down and I had to think. I was like, am I really acting like a CEO? Am I really acting like an ambitionist? Am I really keeping my word? Am I really being this self-aware guy, you know? And then I had to recognize this one thing. You know, I say to you, I'm not a guru, not an expert, just a guy in the process. And when that clicked for me, I realized that, hey, Ed, you are in the process. You're not claiming to be perfect. You know, you're in the process. You're not claiming to know how to handle the jabs of life. You're not claiming to be Muhammad Ali. Let's just say we're an 18-year-old coming to the boxing game of life. And you're training so that when you go against the Muhammad Ali, or when you become Muhammad Ali and go against with all the greats, which is the turmoils of life, which is the stresses of life, that you're able to handle it. So I think part of decreasing the blame you place on yourself when you burn out is part of recognizing that you're also in a process of achieving better coping mechanism, better personal development, and better understanding of how to manage your energy and stretch your fuel so that you can go to where you want to get to. So what I realized that worked for me in that instance is recognizing, yes, I'm supposed to be the motivator. Yes, I'm supposed to be a role model for myself and for others. yes, I'm supposed to keep my word because I talk about it all the time. But you're still in the process, right? You're still in the process. And that the best teacher in life is the reoccurrence of the things you don't want rather than the constant gift of what you want. The best teacher in life is recurrent problems, not constant gifts of solutions. Now, here's what I say. When you face a problem over and over and over and over, you become an expert in, like, really, I know how to not do this anymore. Like, and if you do it early on and you decrease the time it takes for you to come from problem to solution, over time, that decrease in time really serves a big role because you will always be faced with problems. You will always get tired. You will always do more than you can handle from time to time if you're ambitious. It's like a gift and a curse to be ambitious. If you want to do great things, you know, you're going to get tired. Like, I do a lot of things. And I understand that this is a sacrifice I'm making. But I have to be responsible throughout the process to not use all of the fuel. Because your dreams, your aspirations, and goals are not just like yours. So as you deplete all of the energy that you have, let's say you're a rocket going up to space and you got other people alongside you, right? So, okay, let me tell you this. I realize that now that I have to learn how to not get burned out when I'm one entrepreneur, I realize that this will serve me great purpose when I have 200 employees, right? Because the last thing you want to do is run out of fuel when you got other people on the rocket, right? You're going up to space, you're doing something great, and you got other people with you, and the fuel runs out. So now you're not just hurting the 20 people or 200 people on that rocket, but their families are all being affected down. So now you're having a ripple effect of really destroying people's lives. And we don't want to do that. We definitely don't want to destroy our own. So Jim Rohn says, it's better to do the best that you have when you just few. You know, it's better to have the most impact when it's just a few. Because when it's just a few and you take care of those just a few, then when you get a bunch, you're able to give more and you're able to go farther, right? So it's better to learn these coping mechanisms when it's just a few things you have to do. It's better to deal with the coping mechanisms when it's just a few classes you have to take. It's better to deal with the coping mechanisms now when it's just a few problems you have to handle and a few people you have to manage, then getting to the point where you're in charge of a system of people and investors that depend on you, and then you can't handle it, then the whole ship goes down and you would have wrecked the lives of many. So that's why I say problems are literally a gift, especially if they happen over and over. Now, I'm not telling you, if you could figure it out quicker than ever, that's great. But, it makes you an expert. It makes you... Empathy rises, understanding rises, navigation rises, and it serves you for the rest of your life. It gives you a lot of wisdom. So I'm not telling you to go yourself and burn yourself out on purpose. I'm saying understanding that. That's the part of emotional intelligence I was talking about, is just understanding the benefits of experiencing it young so that you could undo it and navigate better towards a better future. So look not at your inability to cope as something that should put you down, because it's really not going to help you navigate putting yourself down. Putting yourself down never helps you navigate. Putting your hopes down never help you grow, you know? So let's begin. Me and you, and the beauty of it is I'm in the process, man. It's amazing, I'm telling you. It makes you more ambitious when you go through some tough times within yourself and your brain, it makes you appreciate when your mind is at ease and at peace and your life is satisfactory in your own eyes. It's just that much sweeter when you taste the sour part of life. It makes you more enthused to achieve your goals when you went for them and you just couldn't do it. It makes you more, it gives you more purpose when you've seen what you can do and couldn't and not doing it. Because when you finally start doing it, you're like, oh my God, I need to do it. But however, knowing that, don't let that be your vice to never ever doing it, right? So I believe for me, my big sense of belief in myself in the past, and the reason why I'm not saying it now is because whatever happened yesterday is literally the past. I'm not holding myself accountable. Well, I do hold myself accountable, but I'm not holding that against myself for what happened in the past. Whatever you did before is not you right now. You know, if you were the person who couldn't handle stress in life, today is a different day. You know, and this sort of mentality have given me the opportunity to really change my life really quickly. I told you 2 weeks ago it was hard. But how did I just boom and rechange, get a new sense of direction? It's because I've been able to build this underlying infrastructure that allows me that when I run out of fuel, right, though I may fall out the sky and into the ocean, I turn the water into my fuel, right? Now listen to that. When you go up and you fall down, whatever resource that you've had at your low point, turn that into fuel and get back up. And what do I mean? You see, the analogy I just gave you is really deep. The rocket goes up with the regular fuel of whatever type of fuel that they use for rockets, right? It goes up into the sky and it's just amazing. And we couldn't find out how to use water yet, right? But when it fell right into the ocean, we ourselves are so willing, and this is a hypothetical situation, this is just an analogy, we fall into the water and somehow we found out how to be resourceful and turn water into fuel. Isn't that beautiful? You were like, what if you could have found out how to use water in the first place? You probably never would have, because you never would have fell in the water and found out the secret ingredient to turning water into fuel for rockets. But because you fell flat on your face, you learn the secret to success. So falling is often a gift rather than a curse. You know what I mean? Wisdom comes not from learning from success. It comes from experimenting and not being successful and finding out the way. Well, this is the way. Like for me, that happened many times. You know what I mean? So, like, it's amazing to use your downfall for your successes, right? It's amazing. I'm telling you, so motivational. You know what I mean? And it just keeps pushing you. You got to have a sense of purpose, right? That unwavering enthusiasm you had in the beginning, you have to keep that. Don't lose it. If you lose that, then you can't start back up, right? Just realize you're enthusiastic. Yes, you're enthusiastic. But all of it doesn't have to be done right now. The pyramids were not built in one day. The infrastructure of the United States was not built in 10 years. It was built in decades, right? It was centuries. And, you know, the people literally, blood, sweat, and tears built this country. Literally, blood, sweat, tears, and lives of people built this country. So let's begin to take your situation of life and turn it into a winning situation for the rest of your life, right? Now, I know this. Not because I've experienced the rest of my life. Shoot, I'm right here with you right now, right? But because I've become a little bit wiser every time I mess up. But wisdom only comes from seeing the bright side of situations and also understanding why you act and talk and be a certain way. And in knowing that certain way, we all can begin to reverse the content of our lives and curate a better content for the rest of our lives so that the things that we see can live up to what we've been dreaming of, and that unwavering enthusiasm pays up at the end. So you want to get paid, or do you not want to get paid? If you want to get paid, continuously pace yourself. Don't play yourself. Pace yourself. Don't play yourself. Watch yourself before you wreck yourself. So you gotta pace, you gotta watch, and you gotta act. And in closing up, last thing I want to tell you is that we all fall down. Now, this is cliche, but we all fall down. But if we don't rise up, then we will never be able to go towards where we're trying to get to. It's simple, but it's really clean. What makes a person strong in character is the time it takes for them to get up, right? Some of us, we don't get up, and that's the issue. But how fast can you get up when you fall down? How fast can we recuperate, become innovative and resourceful to finding more fuel to get you to your destination? Ladies and gentlemen, when you can figure that out, we can live a happier, fulfilling life and a holistic life. That's my version. That's my dream and mission for my life. And that's my wish upon yours. And with that being said, my name is Dwight Gilles, aka the CEO Ambitionist. And I wish onto you. In fact, I transfer onto you blessings into your life. And I know that you'll be able to navigate your life better and reduce the amount of burnouts that you get, because you're not going to burn out. You're going to come on top on what you're trying to achieve, because you can do it. And you have the unlimited power in you to achieve whatever it is that you want. But until you believe that, the world will forever miss your talents, your gifts, and all the great things you have to offer. So let your light shine. Don't hide it. Don't dim it. Thank you for tuning in. Please be sure to check out my podcast. It's called The Ed Talks Personal Growth and Motivation. It's available on all applications, including SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, you name it, or Anchor.fm. So be sure to check it out. Whatever one you use, if there's an option for a review, leave one. So that way other people can find this, because I think this is pretty good stuff. I know it's good because I listen to it myself. I'm like, oh, this is really helping me. You know, it's really weird. Okay, but anyways, have the best rest of your day in life. Be great, be powerful, because you got unlimited power in you. Peace. And also, follow me on social media at CEO Ambitionist. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. You name it, you can find me. Peace.